There are signs on the highway to heaven. I don't know if you've thought about that, but that's what we want to talk about today. Signs that are on the road to heaven. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. Chapter 35, Jesus prophetically fulfilled this. Whenever John the Baptist said, "Are you the Messiah?" He says, go back and read Isaiah 35. He didn't say it this way. But Isaiah 35 says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. When's that going to happen? Well, when the Lord comes. And so there is that prophecy that said when God comes to save mankind, that the eyes of the blind are going to be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And Jesus told John the Baptist's disciples, you go back and tell John, if you want to know if I'm the Messiah, that the eyes of the blind have been opened, the ears of the deaf have been unstopped. There's the evidence of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's in that prophetic passage that we read about a highway. Look down at verse 8. A highway shall there be, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. That's really what I want us to talk about. Jesus has come, and He's laid out a path and laid out a road, and the Bible describes it as a highway of holiness. And look at the last part of that verse that says, even if a man's a fool, if he's a wayfarer, he'll not be able to misunderstand that highway. So you and I need to understand that the Bible does talk a lot about that highway. Didn't Jesus talk about that in Matthew chapter 7? In the Sermon on the Mount, did Jesus not talk about entering in through a narrow gate? Matthew 7:13. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. You look at this. There's a way, a broad way that leads to destruction. Then he talks about another way. And this other way is another way of describing this highway of holiness in verse 14 when he says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. You want to go to heaven? There are some signs on the highway that you and I need to understand. Have you ever been to one of those situations? There were some road signs and you're trying to figure out to exactly which way you want to go. And I know that you're sitting there trying to figure out where Dog Island is and where Ruapuki Island is and all the other places. But here, there are places like this all over this earth. And sometimes religiously. Don't you have that same problem? Do we not religiously, as we try to find that highway to heaven, don't we find ourselves some way, sometimes just looking at it this way, and it is so confusing for us to be able to find the way. That's why I want us to talk about signs on the highway to heaven. Now, literally, these signs are not there. Biblically, they're there, every one of them. In the first place, I suggest to you that the sign, one of the signs on the highway to heaven is the sign that says one way. You ever been the wrong way down a one-way street? I want you to know, the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Folks, who said that? Emmanuel said that. Emmanuel is God in the flesh. When the Creator of this world, through whom all things were made, when He came and lived in a body of flesh on this earth, when He came, He said, there is no way to get back to the Father except through me. Now, in this day and age, folks don't want you to talk that way. Folks think you're bigoted. Folks think that you're judgmental whenever you talk that way and say there's only one way to heaven. Sometimes you'll be in a religious discussion with somebody and they'll say, well, doesn't the Bible say judge not that you be not judged? That's right, I'm not the judge. You know what the judge says? The judge, with a capital J, the judge of all mankind, the judge before whom I will stand and the person that I am standing, the judge says, there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand that whenever the Bible talks about there being a narrow gate and a difficult way that leads to life, a part of that is we don't want to believe this. We'd like to believe that a person just by his good moral life could go to heaven. Sometime whenever somebody's never had any faith at all in God, and the work of the Lord's never been a part of his life, he's just a good father, he was a good husband, and he dies, preachers will get up and preach him into heaven. Folks, you cannot do it. Why? Because there's only one way to get to heaven, and he refused to go down that way. You and I need to understand how exclusive the highway to heaven is. And it's not being bigoted to state what truth is. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You get pulled over going the wrong way down a one-way street, and the officer comes up there and he starts to hand you that little piece of paper. Now, don't you be judgmental. Now, you're being bigoted whenever he says, sir, don't you see that sign there? And folks, I ask you to look at this sign right here. There's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You cannot go to heaven being just a good moral person. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's what the book says. That's what the law book says. And whenever I say that, I'm not being bigoted. I'm just telling you what the judge says. And this book that'll be the basis of that judgment says it's not going to be by works of righteousness which you have done. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we ought not to be ashamed ever. Listen, we ought never to be ashamed to stand up for that which is right. You and I need to have an appreciation of that. Now then, here we are and we found that road. I want you to know there's another road sign. And that is, when you get on the road, you can't make turns. There are no turns allowed on this road to heaven. What are we talking about? Well, in the book of Joshua, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. That's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Joshua's taken over after Moses' death. And God says to Joshua, now Joshua, you be strong and you be courageous to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What's he saying? He's saying, Joshua, here's that Bible, that part of it at least that Moses gave to you. And you are in charge of Israel. You're going into the promised land. And you have in the possession and in the tabernacle, you have the Bible. Now, Joshua, here's what your responsibility is. You look inside the Bible. Joshua, look at the Bible that you have. And when you read this book, don't you become more liberal or more conservative than this book is. It's ironic that we use the word left and right in a political discussion. And yet, the very concept is here. We either are going to live by what the Bible says and follow the book, or we're going to have to add to it and become more liberal than what the Bible is, or take away from it and become more conservative than what the Bible is. Sometimes individuals say, well, on your website, why don't you have a statement of faith so folks can know what you believe? Well, you know the problem with that? If that statement of faith contains more than what the Bible says, it's got too much. If it contains less than what the Bible says, it's got too little. Do you understand the statement of faith? Do you understand the creed of the church? Do you understand where that is? It's not invested in some group of scholars, in some education of higher learning, some theological seminary to where individuals go and they sit down and they learn some denominational interpretation about how to grow churches or some denominational concept about how to deal with moral problems in our land. We need to understand that when it comes to the matter of this highway to heaven, this is all we have. And we don't have any right to add to it or take away from it. The last page of the Bible, does it not, talks about adding to the book or taking away from the book, and says you add to the book and the plagues of that book, the book of Revelation, you add to it, the plagues will be added to you, and you take away from the words of that book, and God will take away your place from the tree of life. You want to miss the tree of life? Then just take away from it. Go down the road to heaven and think that you are in charge of the road map, and that the road map is under your power. The judge says Here's the roadmap. And the judge says, don't add to it or take away from it. There's a third road sign. And that is, you and I need to understand that there are places we need to stop. There are places as we walk on this road, places where we need to stop. Look at two passages of Scripture. 1 James chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, talking to Christians, lay aside filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. Now what's happened? Here are some Christians in the first century, and they've become a part of the church, and yet they're still partaking of everything that is found out there in the world. And you and I need to understand that James, through the Holy Spirit through James, writes and says, it's time to stop your filthiness. Talking about spiritual immorality. It's time for you to stop being like everything that is in the world. You stop that, you lay that aside, and with meekness you receive the Word of God, the implanted Word of God. The old King James says, the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save your souls. What a fabulous passage that says, you can't just go to heaven because you walk into it inside a church building. Just because you're inside this building and you come every week doesn't really mean you're on the highway. Why? There's some things you got to stop. You got to learn, you got to live right and do right. And the Bible says it's time to put a stop to things like that. I love the latter part of that says receive the implanted Word. You know what an implant is? The engrafted Word. You know what you know how you engraft something? You know how you graft a bud from one tree into another tree? You take that bud and you slice that tree that's going to receive the bud and you put it inside there and you cover it up in some way to keep the weather from getting in there. And all of a sudden, that bud that is in that tree becomes a part of the tree, and all of the sustenance that limb needs that has been put in that tree, every bit of it is drawn from that tree that is there. And you and I need to understand that the principle is that the Word of God is engrafted into us, or we are engrafted in the Word in a practical sense. And our sustaining power comes from meekly coming to the Word of God and says, Lord, tell me what you want to look like. Tell me what kind of husband you want to be. Tell me the kind of wife, the kind of father, the son or daughter, brother or sister, employer, employee, old person, young person. You tell me what you want to be like. Because I'm going to plant those words in my heart. You know Psalms 119, 9 through 11, do you not? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, thy word have I hid in my heart. What happened to it? I took the Word of God and I put it inside my heart. Those words that were on the table of stone were not to be left on the table of stone. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5 says, the words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And you can't just take the Word of God. You've got to stop living one way and start living another. Here's an interesting verse, and that is 1 Peter chapter 4. Here are some Christians that had done that very thing. They had stopped living like the world. And so Peter says, we have spent long enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the pagans. We used to live out there among you, used to live like them, used to have their values, used to have their treasures, used to find joy and great joy in all the things in which they found joy and great joy. And he says, wait a minute, that's a thing of the past. We spent long enough in our lifetime, in our past lifetime, in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lewdness, in lust, in drunkenness, in revelings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. Wonder how much place there is in the life of Christian for these things. There was a time and a place where we may have lived that way. That partying. You know the kind of partying that I'm talking about. The kind of partying where there's all sort of immorality and evil that comes. Filthy jokes that come as a result of it. And immoral actions that come from that kind of thing. In the matter of drunkenness, there's that party world that's out there. There's that revelry. If you ought to look that word up in the Greek. It's a drunken party where they got so drunk they marked. It's almost like a Super Bowl party where the only things that matters the beer and the commercials. You understand what I'm talking about? We got mighty, mighty close to it whenever it is this matter of immorality and then this matter of lewdness and lasciviousness. Christians, you need to recognize that lasciviousness is a thing that cannot be a part of our life. Why? It used to be a part of it. We could be lascivious in the way that we walk, lascivious in the way that we talk, and lascivious in the way that we dress. But he says, you've got to put a stop to that. And they think it's strange that you will not be like you used to be. In fact, he says, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Got to stop living an ungodly life and start living a godly life. Another sign on the highway is there's a fork in the road. Folks, you got to make a decision. Here's the fork in the road that lies, that is there on this road to heaven, and maybe we ought to put the fork right at the beginning of the road, but sometimes, even down the road, we have to make a decision about which way am I going to go, and that's what the Jews had done. They were God's children, and yet they'd become worshipers of Baal, and so Ahab, you remember Ahab, Mr. Jezebel, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. What prophets does he have? He has 400 prophets of Baal plus one prophet of God. And that prophet of God named Elijah came to the people and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Isn't that amazing? There's a time in our lives where we need to make a decision. And you cannot just straddle the fence in relationship to the level of devotion you're going to have in serving the Lord. You cannot partly hold on to the world and partly hold on to God and hope right at the end of your death in that tug of war trying to pull you into heaven or into hell that the Lord's going to outpull the devil. You and I need to understand that decision is ours. Choose you this day whom you will serve is what Joshua said to the people. And I love the fact that Jeremiah said, how long are you going to wait before you make a decision? Shall I ask you that question today? Are you where you ought to be spiritually? How much longer are you going to wait to make up your mind? The reality is, listen, the reality is you've already made a decision. It's time for you to change that decision of hanging in there and not being for the Lord. For the Lord says, he that is not with me is against me. Neutrality does not exist in relationship to the Lord. Well, look at another sign on the road, and that is keep right. You and I need to understand that Jesus said to some individuals, here's the great commandment. You're to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is Matthew chapter 22. Here's the great commandment. The greatest thing, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest thing the Lord ever said, Jehovah ever said? Here it is, right here. Well, then I need to hold on to that. I need to keep on keeping on doing what's right. How do you do that? Love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our soul. That's every aspect of us. You got to do right. There's one rule in life, and that rule is to do right. Now, sometimes we may misunderstand what it means to love the Lord. The judge wants you to understand what it means to love the Lord. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind? Then look at your attitude toward the commandments of God. You and I need to understand that we need to do right. We just don't need to do right some of the time, because you may have heard somebody say in the distant past, it's always right to do right and it's always wrong to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right and never right to do wrong. And that's right because the Bible is right. You and I need to understand that. And it's always right because the Bible is always right. In looking for slides for this, I ran across this slide and I just thought I had to put it in here. Here's that slide that's on the road to heaven that says, hell has no exit. There's those no exit signs, and you and I need to have an appreciation. Folks, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to encourage you to change your life. That's really what this lesson is all about. It's trying to build within you a renewed appreciation, not the fact that the Lord's going to do everything He can to keep you, to throw you into hell. He's not that kind of, He longs for you to be there. But for you to go to heaven, you've got to want to be there. You've got to recognize that Jesus died for you and that He is the Lord and Master, and you don't have any choice because He made you and then He bought you at the cross. You don't have any choice but to follow Him. And that way is difficult, but it doesn't make any difference how difficult it is. Heaven will surely be worth it all. What about that road? Are you on the road to heaven? There's a road map to heaven, and it begins with faith in Jesus. And you and I need to have an appreciation that we must believe in Jesus. That's what John chapter 3 and verse 16 says. Luke chapter 13 verse 3 says, you got to decide to get on the road. You cannot just sort of drift into heaven and just hope that, well, you'll sort of make it in because of the graciousness of the judge. The judge has said, this is the way, obey this, and the book of life, your name will be in the book of life forever and ever. We sang about that very thing this morning. If your name's not written there, you need to make sure that it is written there. You need to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, because based on that confession, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, you then can be baptized. And when you're baptized, you're baptized into His death, and all of your sins are washed away by the very blood of Jesus. Don't you want that in your life? Don't you want to serve Him? Don't you want to give your life to Him and get on the highway to go to heaven? And then the most amazing thing is, He'll make you a part of God's family. You're out in the world, you're living like a child of the devil, but you can be born of water and of the Spirit this very day. There's a baptistry here, clothing is here, everything is ready. This very day, you can be born of water and the Spirit and walk out of this building saying, I'm on the highway to heaven. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm going to keep right. I'm going to stop wrong and start doing right because I want to go to heaven. And if you'll do that, God will forgive you of your sin. Now, if as a Christian you've done wrong, you may need to ask for the prayers of the church that you might be stronger. And that's why the Bible says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You and I need to understand that we can have that crown of life given to us because we have served the Lord faithfully. Are you ready? Are you on the road? Then why don't you get on the road? It's only a step. You make the step and the Lord will walk with you the rest of the way. Let's stand together and sing together. If you need to come, come right now as together we stand and sing.